Well, last week I told you we were going to start a new sermon series, and I kind of teased you, if you want to know what it is, you got to come today, and you're here, so you're about to find out. Well, we are going to spend the next several weeks talking about one of Jesus' most loved and most misunderstood parables in the New Testament. I'd like to welcome you to our new sermon series called Aha! Aha! Have you ever had an aha moment yourself? A realization that, wow, you understand something now that you didn't before. Aha is a point in time or an experience when one has a sudden insight, understanding, or realization. Aha happens when three elements come together. So we're going to use aha as an acronym. And it stands for a sudden awakening, brutal honesty, and immediate action. So I told you this was a story of Jesus, one of his parables, and every story has a beginning. So I want us to think for a moment about stories that have a beginning. Can you tell what this line is from? A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Star Wars. That's right. Very good. Okay, see if you can get this one. Marley was dead to begin with. Ooh, good. Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens. That was great. Try this one. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Ooh, good. A Tale of Two Cities. What about this one? Call Me Ishmael. Oh, good, Moby Dick. You guys are doing great. What about this one? It was a bright, cold day in April, and all the clocks were striking 13. Oh, did I stump you on this one? How about if I give you a clue? George Orwell. There, you got it, 1984. Yeah. Well, every story has a beginning, and you've just proven that some of these stories have very memorable beginnings. And the beginnings of stories are important because they set the stage. They tell about what life was like before the story really begins. And the beginning of a story often says a lot about the end of the story, too. But sometimes once we start talking about the aha moment in a story, that's what marks the story, and we forget how the story began. A story can become so defined by what changes that the beginning is totally forgotten. So we want to take a moment to start at the beginning, and I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. If you'd like to follow along in a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 840. We're just going to start with verses 11 and 12. Now, as you're turning there, I will let you know that this is actually part of a three-story session of parables. Jesus taught first about a lost sheep, then he taught about a lost coin, and then starting in verse 11, we're going to hear the beginning of the third story about something else that got lost. Luke 15, verse 11. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. So in this third parable, Jesus introduces a family. This conversation takes place between a father and his youngest son. There was an older son, and he will show up in the story a little bit later. But here we have a dad and his two sons. The father and his sons have a home together. It's a pretty big estate, and they all live together on that estate. The father's obviously not poor because he has enough wealth that the younger son wants it. And if we continue reading in this story, we learn that the father has servants and a lot of livestock as well. Home is a really good place to be. But there's something in the heart of this younger son that wants to leave home. And no matter how good it is, no matter how well he's provided for, no matter how much his family loves him, he wants to leave home. So when the son asks his father for his share of the inheritance, he's effectively saying this, "Dad, I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance now." Typically, the estate wasn't divided until the father passed away, so this was a very audacious request. The young man's obviously immoral, rude, and selfish. He's become so obsessed with doing what he wants, when he wants, the way he wants, that he treats his father with the utmost disrespect. This little request probably started out with just a little selfishness. He probably didn't intend to break his dad's heart. He probably never meant to destroy his relationship with his family. But what started as a little selfish ambition to make his own way ended up costing him more than he ever imagined. It's really easy on this side of the story to think this young man is crazy or that he's lost his mind. It's pretty easy to pretend that we've never done something that foolish either. But if we're really honest, we would have to admit that at some level, we left home too. The father in this story is more than a fictional dad. In this parable, when the younger son leaves home, he is, in fact, leaving God in the dust. So what is it that makes us want to leave home? What makes us want to live our lives apart from God? We know that God loves us and He cares for us, and man, does He provide for us. Home with God is very good. But there's something within all of us that at some point wants to leave. It's like a moth towards a bright light. Sometimes we can't resist the urge to ask for our inheritance and go our own way. But if home is so good, why does anyone want to leave? Well, I think there's a few reasons. The first one is this attitude that I want what I want and I want it now. One of the reasons we leave the Father's house is we have this desire for instant gratification. We live in a culture that's preoccupied with getting what we want and getting it now. I mean, think about it. We have instant messages and instant downloads and instant credit. We have fast food, on-demand TV shows and movies, and now we even have same-day delivery. But for a lot of the Christian life, it's based on delaying gratification. Think about it. We're saved, but we still live in a fallen world, so we wait for heaven. We have the sure hope of heaven, but we're not there yet, so we wait until Jesus comes. We've been promised that all things will work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. But it doesn't seem to be happening right now. So we wait. And after waiting for a while, it's easy to get sick and tired of waiting and think, I do want it now. So sometimes we leave the Father's house looking for what we think we should have now. I think another reason some people leave a good home is they think they deserve it. They deserve something better. Another reason we leave the Father's house is a dangerous attitude of entitlement. This was certainly present in this young man, wasn't it? You might think, well, I've been good long enough. Now I deserve some real fun. I've been patient long enough. Now I deserve some kind of fulfillment. I've done it God's way long enough. Now I deserve to do things my way. What this mentality forgets is one of the core aspects of living a life saved by grace is that we don't deserve it. It's not about doing enough good things for a long enough time so that we earn the right to leave the Father's house. It's about accepting God's gift of grace that we don't even deserve in the first place. I think a third reason that many people leave is they feel, I can do it better on my own. This third common attitude that makes us want to leave the Father's house is really an attitude of bitterness. It's not that the Father hasn't provided. It's not that there was nothing to do on the family estate. It's not that there was anything that the Father was lacking. You kind of get the sense that this son wanted to do it on his own. He wanted to be his own master, and he wanted to lead his own life. In some ways, this third attitude is a combination of the first two. You want something now, you think you've earned it, and you're tired of waiting. So you just want to forget God and do it on your own. What this attitude forgets is that the Christian life, living in the Father's house, is all about being a servant. It's about being a slave to Him. I want to share a passage the Apostle Paul wrote to us in Romans chapter 6. If you'd like to flip over there with me in the chair Bibles, it's on page 907. And in Romans 6, Paul talks about this idea of slavery and what we're a slave to. And in Romans 6, verses 15 to 18, look what he says. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever it is you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. A slave has resigned all rights, all claims to power, and all decision-making. And as slaves of righteousness, we've surrendered our lives to serve the Lord. We don't get to call the shots. He does. He's the master. So when we think about these reasons that some people leave God, I want it now, I deserve it, I can do it better on my own, there's something fascinating about God. Check this out. Just like the Father in the story, He'll let us make those statements and He'll let us walk away. God allows us to choose Him or to choose to leave Him. At one time or another, a lot of us have said one of those statements to the Father, and we've walked away too. It starts with a little selfishness, a little request, a little control, a little harmless pleasure. And we never intend to break our Father's heart. We never mean to destroy relationships with those around us. We may not intend to tell God we wish He was dead, but that's exactly what we're saying, and we walk away from Him. But what starts as a little selfish ambition to make our own way, it ends up costing us more than we could ever imagine. The story began in the Father's house. Nothing was lacking, nothing was missing. Everything was provided at no cost to the Son. And you know, the story actually could have ended there too. We're going to find out later in this series about the older son who did stay in the care and provision of his father. And he'll have a few comments to make about that when we get there. But it doesn't matter why you wanted to leave. What matters is whether or not you come back home. And that's what AHA is all about. So maybe an AHA story is beginning for you today, and maybe it's time to come home. I have heard sermons that take the entire parable into one message. We're going to break this down into smaller bits and look a lot closer at this parable than what you may have ever done before. And I hope in this process that you will be challenged to maybe take a closer look at your life and consider the aha moments that you might have. So my challenge for you today is this. I want you to commit yourself to 6 weeks of spiritual growth. That's how long this series will last. And as we do that, I want you to get the most out of the series by making it a priority to be here each week, hear the messages. We don't really have a lot of small groups going on in a formal setting right now, but I want to encourage you to form your own life group, maybe with somebody that you have lunch with, maybe somebody that you talk to during this week's, and participate in whatever group you're comfortable in talking about the kinds of things. Maybe sharing about your story. Now, if you'd like, there's also a book based on this series that's called AHA. If you'd like to get a copy of that, I'll be glad to help you do that. We will have to purchase some, but the book is a great read and will supplement some of the things that we're talking about. But this week, I want you to think about the times that you may have been tempted and maybe gone through with walking away from God. What motivated you to do that? What brought you back? Maybe what aha moments you experienced in the midst of that journey. But let's wrap up today with a prayer, thanking God that we're back as we think about these things today. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, this is an amazing parable of Jesus. Most of us know it as the story of the prodigal son. Some of our more contemporary Bibles call it the parable of the lost son. And as we've learned in the beginning of this story, this young man had it made. He lived in a good home. He had a loving father. He had a successful father that had set both of his sons up for success, working the estate, being responsible at home. But this young man had other plans. He felt entitled to ask his dad for his share of the inheritance, and he wanted it now. Lord, we know in Romans 3:23 we're told we all have sinned. For all of us, we've had times when we've walked away from you. And I pray, Lord, that maybe we can think about that today and think about the motivations and maybe some ways we can identify with this young man. I thank you, Lord, that most likely since we're here and worshiping you today, most of us have made the turnaround and come home, as this young man has an opportunity to do as well. But Father, the truth is, there's a lot of people, sometimes in our families, sometimes in our communities, and definitely around the world, lots of people that have walked away from you. And Father, as we begin this sermon series this week, help us reflect on those that have chosen to walk away. And Father, we know that you could make everybody come back if you wanted to, but just like the Father you're telling us about in the story, you give people the opportunity to choose. And Father, I thank you for everybody here that has made that choice to follow Jesus, but you've also given us the task of calling others to come home too. So I pray during this series you'll lay on our hearts names of people we know, that we care about, that we interact with, that need to come back home to you as their Heavenly Father. And use us, Lord, as your instruments to communicate that love, to communicate that the invitation is open to come home. And we pray, Father, hearts will turn back to Jesus. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? And we're going to sing that song that we began the worship service with today, Prodigal. This will be the song for our series. Sing with me.